United States v. Kelly, counsel for the appellant, please.
Chief Judge Baker, members of the court, I'm Captain Ian Guy, along with Colonel Tricia Ann. We represent the appellant, Staff Sergeant Bruce Kelly. The government conducted not one, but two unlawful searches on the files of Staff Sergeant Kelly's personal computer when it searched for evidence of a crime. In conducting the searches, government personnel disregarded the distinction between living and deceased soldiers and invaded Staff Sergeant Kelly's reasonable expectation of privacy when personnel conducting the search knew that Staff Sergeant Kelly was alive and had requested his property back. The searches were not conducted as either lawful inventory searches or inspections on the military rule of evidence 313 because they were not conducted pursuant to either of the objectives of either of those exceptions to the Fourth Amendment.
Can I ask you an abstract question to begin with, which is your argument that the government cannot do this or that it did not properly do it in this case?
Your Honor, generally, the government cannot do this.
So even there's no reg that they could write that would authorize them to go through a wounded soldier's computer for the reasons of classified information and to avoid embarrassment for the family members.
That is our position, Your Honor. Secondly, even if there were a regulation that would allow that, the government did not conduct this as a reasonable search, either as an inventory inspection or
in this case. You're saying they can't do it, period. So even if the best lawyers in the world went off and wrote a regulation and you stood in front of formation and announced to everybody this was going to happen, your argument is you can't get there from here.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Is that because the government doesn't have an interest in going through the computer to remove pictures and things like that?
The government does not have a legitimate interest in removing evidence of pornography or unsavory material on the computers of a personal, from a personal computer of a wounded soldier or any other soldier.
Why not?
Your Honor, that's because the, specifically, I guess, regarding a wounded soldier, the evidence does not support that a computer of a wounded soldier automatically goes back to anyone other than the soldier.
So you're making a general argument that it can never be the case, so don't talk about the facts. What you say the facts are in this particular case, why not as a general proposition, doesn't the government have that interest so that they could write a regulation?
Your Honor, it's because it's ridiculous for the government to have a position that says that the presence of pornography on a soldier's computer, a wounded soldier or a living soldier, that it affects military goodwill at this point anyway. There seems to be, at least in this case, and I point back to this case.
Well, I understand that if that's requirement for an inspection, that's not really, you need a legitimate government purpose when it would like. And so I think that the question is, why can't there be a legitimate government interest in protecting the family of wounded military soldiers that may or may not receive the personal effects, remove embarrassing or obnoxious material from the computer?
The service regulation.
Make sure that it's not there.
Yes, right. The service regulation says that the computer will go back to the soldier.
But I asked an abstract question, is, could you write one? I understand the argument that this regulation doesn't do it, but that we're starting with the general proposition, which is it possible to do it?
I suppose the Army and one of the services could write a regulation, and then at that point in time, we would be back to address whether or not it's a lawful search or seizure.
In this case, if we would agree with you that the regulations at issue here don't cover this particular fact scenario, do we have to reach the other issue?
The other issue of whether or not it actually...
The abstract issue.
The abstract
issue. The generic issue.
No, Your Honor. As applied to Staff Sergeant Kelly, this court can look at this case specifically.
Counsel, could the command lawfully prohibit that soldiers in the combat area from owning a computer, having the possession of one?
I don't think so, Your Honor. It seems that it's become general practice. A soldier, as they go off to a combat theater, they take their computers with them. It's a way to conduct communication back home with their loved ones, and also used for...
Well, if we look throughout the history of the military, then would you agree they could censor the communications back home?
Certainly. Yes, yes, Your Honor.
And then that's a form of censorship?
No, Your Honor. This was looking specifically for evidence of a crime as it related to the soldier, since he is in a deployed environment, and the regulations and the general orders that were in place forbid the possession of priority. And
well, then the Gore part censorship, I can't see anything else it could be. You're trying to protect the home front from knowing the nastiness of war, leaving aside what the acceptability of that as a political proposition. It sounds like pure, unadulterated, classic World War I and II censorship.
Your Honor, I believe in this day and age that the media that is streamed into the home in America, it covers and allows citizens to understand what war is. The government may have some... the government should not have an interest in restricting that kind of information coming from the war front.
Are you arguing that the government has no responsibility to monitor what might be said by their soldiers who could compromise operations?
If there is a showing that the communications coming from the front, from the soldiers, can have some impact on the military unit and readiness, perhaps they do. But they won't
know that unless they have the ability to monitor it.
Well, I believe that the fact that the Army has not set it out to figure that out, it's not produced the evidence at a court-martial or staffing and regulation, that the government does not believe that that's an interesting.
Well, we're getting a little far afield here. What's the problem with 638-2 as the government wants to apply it in this case?
Your Honor, 638-2 applies only to missing and deceased soldiers. It does not apply, specifically exempts living soldiers from being subjected to the personal effects regulation. So what the government is supposed to do, and I say the government, I mean the JPED at Aberdeen Proving Grounds, is supposed to only be a central collection point for the effects of a wounded soldier. And under the Army, all Army activities message, ALARAC, they were instructed to simply process the effects of a wounded soldier and medevac back to the United States. And they're only instructed to clean, sort, distribute. They instead applied the regulation 638-2 in their joint publication 4-06.
In the Army message, report to apply to joint PUB, which seems to give them a wider sphere of action.
No, Your Honor, it references it.
Leaving aside what the Army Corps did on that issue.
Yes, Your Honor. The ALARAC, it references the Army regulation 638-2 with the joint PUB. Additionally, however, it doesn't specifically say or instruct JPED to actually inspect or search the digital media of a wounded soldier.
Well, does the joint PUB? Doesn't the joint PUB say something about that?
The joint PUB actually specifically applies to missing or deceased soldiers. Now,
the joint PUB apply to wounded as well? It doesn't. 638-2 by its terms only applies to missing and dead.
Yes, sir.
But I thought the joint PUB applied to wounded as well. Or am I incorrect?
I believe the joint PUB on the first page, JA229, specifically says processing of PE of deceased and missing U.S. personnel and deceased friendly.
Okay, so it covers the same universe as 638-2. Which we're
yes,
saying.
Yes,
so what is the language when they quote in paragraph 1 of the outline, when they talk about the purpose of it and includes the applying to people that are medically evacuated, and they say the following guidance will be incorporated in references B through H, and the reference B is 638-2. So why couldn't the reasonable reading of that mean that this ALARAC is meant to also apply, that it's meant to apply these things in ALARAC to 638-2?
Your Honor, even though it references it, and paragraph 1 references back to those references, including 638-2, looking at JA-163, paragraph 4C, it says that JPEG will clean, sort, and distribute the PE of essentially wounded soldiers. It does not, clean, sort, and distribute would not include an in-depth inspection going through the digital media of a including computer, thumb drives, and those types of articles.
I'm just a little bit confused. Do you agree, I think you did agree with Chief Judge Baker, that it is legitimate to inventory the possessions of a wounded soldier returning to the States? The inventory. And you say, as I understand your argument, they went too far by doing a comprehensive search of that hard drive of the computer, which is password protected.
Yes, Your Honor. When I
there's nothing wrong with the inventory.
If the inventory is limited to only checking the items that belong to the soldier versus a list that was completed in theater by the summary court-martial officer.
So if they checked off one bag of heroin, one stack of child pornography, what would we do with that? Could we prosecute?
Yes, Your Honor, it could.
So this thing's focusing exclusively on searching the computer.
Well, yes, Your Honor, but an inventory of the personal effects of the wounded soldier would simply be going into their tent, collecting and saying, okay, we have a bag here, it's a green duffel bag, it has this marking on it,
How do you define inventory?
Well, inventory, Your Honor, is not defined under 313. However, the common usage of the term would be a detailed list of the assets.
If you had a filing cabinet and you were to inventory it, how would you inventory it? Would you say one filing cabinet, or would you say one folder marked dogs, one folder marked cats, one folder marked cattle?
That would probably be more appropriate, Your Honor.
The second?
Yes, sir.
But why is that not the right metaphor for taking a computer and say, here, inventory this computer?
Because first of all, a soldier has a reasonable expectation of privacy in the files on the computer.
Well, I don't think what says that the filing cabinet is locked, they have a reasonable expectation of privacy in their locked filing cabinet?
Yes, Your Honor. In that situation, the government just can't go into that.
Well, how do they inventory it?
Then at that point, it would just be an inventory of the filing cabinet, one gray filing cabinet.
So that's how they're going to protect both the soldier's property and their own interests by saying it's a filing cabinet and we have no idea what's in it. It could be stacked with money, and someday we hope he comes back and finds his money in there still.
Your Honor, if it's a locked filing cabinet, then there's no threat to the property of the soldier or the person.
What about looking for classified information? You're saying the government does not have the authority or the right to inventory the contents for classified information?
That is a closer question, Your Honor. However, no, the government does not have the ability to search for classified information on a computer.
Without a warrant.
Without a warrant. Yes, Your Honor. If soldiers still have a reasonable expectation of privacy in the computer, and in the files of the computer, especially a password-protected computer, the government cannot just open up the computer, hack into it, simply to find evidence of a crime. And that's what this, even possession of classified information in the United States would be possession or evidence of a crime. So the government.
So it's your position that if we have a wounded soldier that may be in a coma for 6 months and the materials are to be returned to his family, that the government has no authority to go and search to see if it's on the computer before they send it home?
Yes, Your Honor. Because that soldier still has a reasonable expectation of privacy in that computer. And the government, their stated purpose was to prevent the authorize release or dissemination of classified information by third parties. If we're talking about a password-protected laptop computer, it's unreasonable to believe that anyone other than the soldiers are going to be able to access that computer. In fact, in this case, the government had specially trained personnel to crack the password. They had to use software to crack the password to scan Sergeant Pelley's computer.
Is your legal authority for your position that they can't do that? Your reading of obviously
Yes, Your Honor, and that's because.
But those three rationales that they gave in that case were related specifically to the car inventory situation, and I don't think that they purported to limit them in every situation.
It does not say that as an exhaustive list, Your Honor.
Doesn't it look at whether there's a legitimate government reason for the inclusion? I mean, isn't that really the touchstone of that case? And in that particular case, the three rationale that they gave pertain to the car inventory, but I don't think they purported to be an exhaustive list.
I don't believe it was an exhaustive list, Your Honor. However, this court and other service courts have cited back to Opperman and the three distinct purposes of an inventory in the cases that this court is. Yes.
Have you finished answering the question?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
If this is an inspection, do you lose?
No, Your Honor.
Why?
First of all, an inspection must be reported by a commander.
No, I'm saying you're saying it's not an inspection because one, it's waived, and two, it wasn't ordered by proper command authority.
That's right, Your Honor.
If we get past those and it is an inspection, do you lose?
It was not conducted for the purpose of military readiness, good order and discipline, or security of the unit. The government's purpose was only simply to remove.
Well, I understand that argument, but what you're arguing to me is it's not an inspection.
Yes, sir.
What I'm saying is, if it's an inspection, do you lose?
If it's not an inspection, do you lose?
No, if it's an inspection, do you lose?
No, Your Honor.
Why?
The government did not. The government was essentially on autopilot. They were not following any regulation or orders from a commander. They did not apply this to all soldiers. In fact, it looks like they only applied it to
units. Just assume for a minute that this was a valid inspection, met all the requirements and everything. I think Judge Tukey's question is, if it is a valid inspection with solid basis, would you lose? Just making that assumption, not saying that we're making that assumption.
If it otherwise was a lawful inspection, then certainly.
It's a little bit of a circle.
I'm saying it by the threshold.
If it's lawful, is it lawful?
Yes, Your Honor. Yes.
If it does not violate the Fourth Amendment, right. Yes.
You're welcome to take another stab at that on rebuttal and think about it. All right, counsel for the government, please. Oh, they're going to go first? Okay. We were debating that over there, and we didn't know, so we're happy. Counsel, let me make this case.
Good morning, and may it please the court. My name is Michelle Meehan, and together with Professor Paul Bennett, students David Potts and Matt Randall, I represent the University of Arizona, James E. Rogers College of Law, as amicus curiae in this case. There are three reasons why this court should reverse the decision of the military judge and suppress the evidence that was illegally seized from Staff Sergeant Kelley's computer. First, the intrusion in this case was not a valid inspection under Military Rule of Evidence 313B. Second, the evidence was not discovered during the course of a proper inventory. And third, by basing the legality of the search on the level of certainty of JPED personnel as to whom would ultimately receive the personal effects, the military judge created a backdoor by which the Army can now bypass the Fourth Amendment.
What's your answer to the generic question, which is, could the Army so inspect for gore, porn, and so on, if they do so in a clear and explicit direction or order?
Yes, Your Honor, I do think that is possible. And the position of the amicus would be that the Army can craft a policy that would permit such a search through notice and consent. And to address a question that was also asked, I believe the Army would be within its legal right to prohibit soldiers from taking their electronic storage media into a battle area unless they agreed preemptively to a search of those items were they to be incapacitated by injury.
Well, I mean, if you're predicating everything on consent, I mean, that's another, that doesn't answer the threshold question you just asked me.
I'm sorry, Your Honor, could you repeat the question?
Well, you're right. Take away the consent. Can the government otherwise order inspection of these materials?
The government can order inspection of these materials, provided that the purpose of the inspection is one that is recognized by 313B as impacting unit readiness, military fitness, security.
And as making sure that the, not next of kin, but the persons to receive the DE are not embarrassed or have further sorrow, is that a legitimate good order and discipline basis for doing so?
That
in the abstract, I'm not saying you have to say that's what occurred here.
It is not a good order and discipline purpose. At best, there is a tenuous connection between the two. There is no indication through the record that any unit readiness is impacted by the prevention of sorrow or embarrassment.
You don't think it would impact a young Marine's morale to know that if I'm wounded, I don't have to worry about all my trash going home to my mother and her looking through and seeing what's on my computer? That's too tenuous?
Not to the extent that it would trump a reasonable violation or reasonable expectation of privacy, Your Honor. There is a...
How do you have a reasonable expectation of privacy if you have a clearly enunciated inspection order?
There's a clearly enunciated inspection order.
That was the predicate. We started with that.
Yes, as noted in our brief, Your Honor, the reasonable expectation of privacy that a military member has will fall in the face of a valid military inspection.
Well, what about an inventory? Why isn't the rationale that's given for why they're inventorying this stuff an administrative, a primary purpose is administrative? I mean, that's what an inventory requires. That the primary purpose be administrative in nature.
The primary purpose of this was administrative in nature, Your Honor. We agree. However, it was not one of the primary purposes, permissible purposes, offered under South Dakota v. Opperman. There
but
is...
You disagree with my reading of the case because that list is not exhaustive. It doesn't report to be exhaustive, does it?
No, Your Honor, I don't disagree with your reading of the case. There is other legitimate administrative purposes that could be used. However, the one that has been advanced by the government is not one of those.
Well, why isn't the better argument this could have been a valid administrative purpose, but the problem is that they didn't actually conduct a proper inventory pursuant to a valid regulation that authorized it, and that there was no actual inventory of the files on the computer produced? I mean, is there an inventory of all files on the computer that was produced anywhere in the record?
Not until after the computer was submitted to the Army CIB. So no, under Florida v. Wells, the policy that the government has currently, the one that it applies to wounded soldiers without being enumerated in the list of individuals to whom the policy applies, does not produce a list of files. In fact, what the JPEG does is they find the files, they erase them, sanitize a hard drive, and ship it off. Wells says that the policy must be designed to produce an actual inventory list, and the policy that the government is currently using does not do that.
You agree you can inventory a computer. Is that implicit in your comment there?
Yeah, the serial number and that.
Period?
Yes.
Or go back to the filing cabinet question. What is a computer? Can you inventory, whether that happened here or not, can you inventory the contents of the computer? Or once you open a computer up, you're searching it, and it's a search or an inspection?
I think that's a close question, Judge. I think that the inventory that you suggested, the files labeled dog, file labeled cat, and et cetera, if you don't open the files, perhaps it's closer to an inventory. However, I still believe that the search that was done in this case was violative of a reasonable expectation of privacy. The inventory that is envisioned under the policy, under Military Rule of Evidence 313C, is one that produces a list of items. This is one where the serial number of the computer would be noted. It could be turned on to be checked for good working order. It could be x-rayed to determine there's no unexploded ordnance contained therein.
You don't think that, a valid administrative purpose would be to look through the computer to make sure that there's no classified material on it?
The amicus does not disagree with the JPEG search of the computer for classified material, particularly under the inspection analysis. This is a valid military purpose. This is one that directly relates to unit readiness. There can be no question that the great and terrible harm that can be the result of unauthorized dissemination of classified material necessitates such an intrusion. However, in this case, that purpose ended the moment the fruitless search for classified material was over. At that point, the purpose of the inspection then shifted to the prevention of sorrow and embarrassment to the family members of military personnel. According to this court's decision in Conklin and in Brown, when the inspection shifts from one purpose to another, the inspection is not valid.
But my question is not focusing on the inspection. My question is focusing on the issue of an inventory. Okay? And so if they have conducted an inventory where they actually inventory all the files on the computer, and said, you know, classified material A, classified material B, child pornography picture one, because you can usually discern that something is child pornography just from the phone.
Yes, sir.
Okay. If there was an order that covered that, why wouldn't that be a valid inventory? Why isn't protection of both classified material and the sensibilities of the family and people that are going to get the personal effects of an injured person who may be in a coma for 6 months? Why isn't that a valid administrative purpose?
The valid administrative purpose in searching for classified material would advance at an inventory search. However, searching for pornography has an inherent condition attached that those images and videos, if found, the possession of which is criminal. So the administrative purpose of searching for those items requires a closer scrutiny and cannot be a mere administrative purpose.
That's based on General Order Number 1?
Yes, Your Honor. General Order Number 1, in addition to the federal violations, it would be attached to the possession.
So you said just porn?
Correct.
Why do you say that the purpose of the inspection changed when here 638.2 provides for a search or a review for classified information for inappropriate material or gore and for obscene material? All of those bases are contained within that regulation. So why are you saying that the purpose shifts?
In the statement provided by NCOIC Delgado Martinez, he says the reason that they search the computers is for classified material. The reason they search the computers for classified material is the protection of the warfighter Storm Demon. The search for porn, gore, and inappropriate material is done for an entirely different purpose. There is no unit readiness associated with it. It does not impact the security of the warfighter. That is why the amicus position is that it was an invalid inspection under 313B, given the shifting purpose between the two.
Other questions, please?
I thought your brief was very well done. But.
Thank you very much, Your Honor. Chief Judge Baker, I see my time has expired. May I conclude?
You may.
Thank you. The intrusion by the JPEG in this case was authorized by a policy that did not apply to Staff Sergeant Kelly or any other wounded warrior. The Fourth Amendment applies with equal force to the men and women of the United States military as it does to their civilian counterparts. And the government's attempt to post hoc justify their intrusion in this case under either an inspection exception or an inventory exception does not cure the taint of the illegal search. For these reasons, this court should reverse the decision of the military judge and suppress the evidence illegally seized in this case. Thank you for the opportunity to present to you today.
You're welcome. Thank you. Counsel for the government, please.
Chief Judge Baker, judges of the court, may I please record. I'm Captain Sean Fitzgibbon, along with Major Captain Brantley. I represent the government today. The examination of Collins' computer did not violate the Fourth Amendment, as was proper under MRE 313. Furthermore, the Army Court of Criminal Appeals did not create an exception to the Fourth Amendment with their decision below. Turning first to the examination of the computer. From a macro sense, from 5,000 feet, the JPEG was an inventory. It was command directed from the battalion level to send a summary court martial officer to follow the guidance of the out, which was the Department of the Army guidance. They took the commander's intent and they sent the inventory through the JPEG.
Okay. You didn't follow your own regulation. Your own regulation by its own terms, this doesn't apply to wounded soldiers. And you hear you got a wounded soldier who's already said, I want my property back. And you're saying, well, sorry, we got to rummage through it first. I can understand that the regulation says you can do that in the case of deceased, you can do that in the case of missing. A deceased person, by definition, has no continuing privacy interest. A wounded soldier certainly does. You didn't follow your own regulation. What's the rationale for this? The
rationale is to protect, both protect classified information from the...
I'll leave aside the classified.
What was your answer? Judge Stuckey said you didn't follow your own regulation. Are you conceding you did not follow your own regulation?
No, Your Honor. The way, when the LRAC came down, that was commander's intent.
The Army Court said the LRAC can't change the reg.
And I agree, but it's still the commander's intent.
Wait a minute. I don't care about the commander's intent. Did you follow your own reg or didn't you?
The commander sent forth an
inventory. First of all, can you be clear for me which commander are you talking about?
The battalion commander.
The ALRAC's an all-Army message, isn't it?
It is.
It didn't come from some battalion commander.
No, the battalion commander appointed the summary court-martial officer.
Right.
And that's where this... the command directive came from.
Put the ALRAC aside and put the commander's intent aside. Did the Army in this case follow the language of 638-2?
No.
Okay. And therefore, what's the justification for this? Why isn't this a search? Why isn't this general rummaging?
This isn't general rummaging because the ALRAC is important in this case because the message the intent was coming down. There's an intent when soldiers leave here.
As Judge Bergman said, leave the ALRAC aside. You did not comply with your own regulation. Why not? And what does that do to the legitimacy of this search?
Now, the examination was required because of the danger of getting classified information on the world.
I'm not concerned with the classified. I'm concerned with the gore, porn, etc. There were two distinct searches.
Well, I disagree with that characterization of two distinct searches.
There were two distinct somethings.
I disagree with that in some sense.
He's a technical legal person.
The nuts and bolts of it is, when they got to the JPEG, when they went to the media center, they would have had to lay eyes on every document.
Do they have to lay eyes on every document?
Because the keyword searches weren't working.
Wait a minute. The regulation says that this applies to dead people who have no privacy interest and to missing people. He is neither. Why are you getting into the computer at all? You have no regulatory authority to do it. Where's your authority?
Your Honor, the commander's authority comes under 313 to conduct searches, or inspections, I apologize. To conduct inspections.
Wait a minute. You were saying, what is it? Is it an you're saying it's an inventory.
I believe that the media center is an inspection. However, the JPEG process, starting with SCOMO, the summary court martial officer, going to the JPEG, is part of an inventory.
Is it my position that the ALRAC amended that part of the regulation of 638-2?
I believe the ALRAC was No.
Okay, what did it do? What did the ALRAC do? What was the effect of that document?
It gave guidance and rationale to the commander.
Guidance and rationale, but it didn't change the regulation.
But the commander has the command responsibility to do that type of
discussion. So the commander can violate an Army regulation?
It wouldn't violate, as long as, I understand that 638 does not, in its words.
But you earlier said that aside from the ALRAC and the commander's intent, 638-2 was violated.
It wasn't followed.
Well, it was followed.
Why didn't you say it doesn't apply? Right? I mean, 638-2 doesn't apply. This individual, you agree with that?
Honest language didn't apply.
Okay. So, was this an inventory? Was it an inspection? Which was it?
Again, it depends where we're looking at it.
Well,
if we zoom out, it's an inventory. It is part of the inventory process. Much like when they clean the gear or they do other things, that's not normally associated with
it. So, you don't disagree that ordinarily what you need in order to authorize an inventory is some sort of a regulation, some sort of guidance, correct?
Yes.
So which regulation are you relying on to authorize the inventory of this individual stuff?
The inventory would have been 638 followed by the other. And also the commander would have been followed.
But you said that the 638 doesn't apply.
I understand that.
And you don't disagree that under the Army rules that the ALRAC can amend 638-2?
As I have, yes.
But can a commander lawfully order someone to follow that regulation in dealing with another situation?
The commander can use the tool available at the JPAD for the inspection report.
For example, if you have a camp here in Arizona, it doesn't have any regulations. Can the camp commander say, I hereby order, we're going to adopt the ones that are at Luke Air Force Base. I want you to follow those regulations on my base. Can he do that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But are you arguing, you sound like you're arguing the abstraction, which is a commander can do this. Can you show us how the commander did do this? Where in our materials is there a direction from the battalion commander to inventory or inspect the computer in the manner that was done in this case?
It's Appellant Exhibit 11 is the order to the Summary Court Martial Officer to follow the regulations that were important. Now, incorrect, 638 was not correct.
That's the Summary Court Martial
Officer. Says, be a Summary Court Martial Officer and inventory is here. And that's your order for which it then goes to JPED and they go through all the computer files?
It was to follow that same process. Use the same standards that are already in place, that same tool. The JPED is a tool, just like the Army Crime Lab is a tool.
So they don't have to. Well, we've got the tool here. Screw the Fourth Amendment. Screw its privacy interest. I mean, is that what you're saying? I don't quite understand what you're saying. Are you saying a commander can do anything,
no,
regardless of what the reg says? You know, I know what that statute says. That statute is very, very short. It certainly doesn't authorize this kind of thing. 4712, which is the Summary Court Martial Officer statute. And that's the only statute I think we've got here. So where are we? What are you arguing?
That the commander had a reasonable basis to submit the computer for inspection.
Well, and what was that basis?
To prevent both classified information and inappropriate information from leaving the laptop.
I have one quick question.
Yes, sir.
Let's assume that at least one judge agrees that AR 638-2 could be applied to the facts of this case. If you applied it, it would require that stuff to be destroyed, didn't it?
Yes and no. The laptop that goes back, it would be sanitized. However,
so if they had done that, we wouldn't even have this case here. They followed the regulation.
However, Your Honor, not to answer out of turn, but if you look at Joint Appendix 259, it gives the actual orders to inventory what is not going forward, to copy it, to make sure that stays for 6 months or whatever purpose necessary. Just as if...
Where is that? In 638-2?
That's in the joint. Was that
Colonel? Is that in the JPED?
Yes, sir.
Can I ask you a question about the JPED?
Yes, sir.
The reg or whatever it is. No, what is it? The SOP.
Yes, that's good.
Page 29 or JA-247 says for deceased personnel, you'll do various things, including look through the electronic media, for classified and to find these things that might be embarrassing. And then on the next page, it says for wounded personnel. It's a different list.
So they on the top, it didn't exist. That was the language of the red versus the black language at the emergency room.
Comes out well in this, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But that didn't exist at the time.
So the only thing that existed at the time was what to do with deceased soldiers.
Right. What they followed. And they followed that uniform standard throughout. They were applying the same standard for all.
Applying the same standard to, leave the classified aside. We're talking about gore and porn. Arguably, the Army has a reasonable interest in sanitizing the character of war for the home front. Let's assume that. But here you don't have, this isn't stuff that's going to the home front. This is stuff that's going back to him. He has a privacy interest, and the Army seemingly has no interest. How does the Army have an interest in keeping him from his own gore?
Well, there are several issues. First, assuming that we disregard classified,
yeah, it serves as a by itself.
Without doing a picture-by-picture analysis, the way this would have been seen, ignoring the interest is that this was not going to directly go to him, or it may have. We don't know. And at the bottom line is that they followed the actual regulations going to go to the charge of receipt equipment. Now, when they say he wants his stuff back, that doesn't show that they're going directly to him, as an Army court held. That's where they came there. They tested their logic, saying, "When do we know it is going to be?"
Should the burden be on the government to show that it wasn't going to him?
Exactly.
Should the burden be on him to show that it wasn't going home?
And that's a question of reasonableness. And in this case, it is reasonable because it's not the JPEG's job to analyze who was injured, how badly, whether it's a 6-month coma or whether it's a twisted ankle. It's a uniform standard, and
it's not their job to analyze, so therefore we just rummage through everything. Or it's not their job to analyze, so therefore we stay out of it, as the reg says.
Your Honor, the inspection is necessary because of the danger of letting this material out into the open. Whether it's a classified, which we're not going to agree with, we're not going to discuss, but whether it's inappropriate, whether it's soldiers doing travesties of war, whether it's armed raid, these are things that can injure soldiers, and they should be prevented. And if they're just a photo on somebody's camera, they're not going to come up with a hashtag. This inspection, this inventory, this examination was not done through the unallocated space. This was going through file by file, looking for something that said CIPRO or secret or classified. This wasn't looking for a talk and bringing in M1, the S2, to say, yes, that is classified. We have to run this.
Now we're not going to talk about that. We're talking about porn.
Yeah, please get to my question.
And gore. There are whole categories of items that can go back. Whether it's just inappropriate with soldiers playing around and doing inappropriate things.
Well, inappropriate is different than dangerous to the Army.
They can be one and the same.
Well, but in the case of pornography, how are they one and the same?
Well, again, they could, at least they're discredited as well.
That's looking for something for a criminal purpose, right? I mean, that's one of the elements, part of the 134?
Well, it's looking for contraband, and which is permissible under 113B. The commander can specifically...
If it's a valid inspection. I mean, this is all very circular. I mean, I don't think anyone disagrees that if it's a valid inspection for a proper purpose, then yes, they can search for contraband.
Yes,
but you have to get over the initial hurdle of why it's a proper inspection.
And again, it's a proper inspection because this may not be going back to the appellant. This could be going back to the family member. We'll check that.
On whom should the burden show? Is it up to the appellant to say, no, I want my stuff back, which it appears he did here, or is it up to the Army to say, well, hell, he's wounded, we don't know, so we're just going to go rummage?
Well, and what's going to be more embarrassing to a family? Did they find child pornography on their son's computer, or did he get prosecuted in the court martial for possessing child pornography?
Well, that is embarrassing. But the underlying fact is that these, generally speaking, are not coming to court. As the personnel director of the JVS said, in her years there, the CID was contacted three times.
Counsel, let's just look forward a little bit. Under the government's position, if we have a similar situation where we have a wounded soldier and he's been medevaced out and has all of his personal effects go to the JPEG and they do their search and they find child porn, how many times will that be destroyed, and how many, according to the regulation, and how many times will it be turned over to law enforcement?
The regulation is unclear, which leads us to the fact that, again, this is not a criminal investigation.
Well, wait a minute.
Is it your problem that you don't have a proper regulation that applies appropriately to particular facts of this case? Because if the answer to that is yes, we don't get into all these other issues.
Here, you said that the regulation is unclear. I mean, the regulation clearly says that this stuff will be destroyed, and here it was referred to law enforcement. So, is that a violation of the statute or the regulation?
I mean, they follow the SOP. And
that, but no, I'm talking about the regulation.
Yeah, it.
That's another deviation.
Could, right, again, it could be destroyed, but that doesn't. It's a matter of time. Again, if they went through the file cabinet and found heroin, it's unlikely that they would just go burn it.
I'm talking about this situation of child pornography. And let's say that today they find it. We have a new situation, all the same facts. The regulation says destroy it. The government, it seems to me, is saying we're going to refer it for criminal prosecution.
And they can still refer it, and then it can be destroyed to the regulation before.
Well, I see.
What
you're just telling me is that there is a criminal purpose to this, and once we're done with that, then we'll destroy it.
Well, no more so than sending your analysis. No more so. When your analysis is completed, and somebody comes up positive for a drug, there's a very high likelihood that
your analysis is conducted according to very specific procedures set out in regulation. This is, well, we got an SOP and we kind of go along. I mean, it's hardly analogous.
What is your best argument that you would like to leave with us for how you get from the county commander appointing a summary court martial officer to the application of the JPEG SOP for deceased soldiers?
The best argument, Your Honor, is that
through the TikTok, how that becomes the battalion commander's inspection.
The battalion commander was following the IRAC message. He took the IRAC to say that we have
and
to.
And we know that because he's an Army soldier and therefore he's following all Army IRACs, or is there some indication he's in fact thinking IRAC?
He's a commander following all Army message, Your Honor.
He's assumed to be following a regulation.
Okay. So the LRAC was received, we took that, and then we forwarded on through the appropriate process. That's how we know he followed the process.
So knowing of the LRAC, when he designates a summary court martial officer, he's necessarily in brief form, as in non-existent form, but he's essentially ordering the summary court martial officer to trigger the complete process he's now aware of from the LRAC.
That's correct.
Not my argument, I'm just trying to understand your argument, because I'm having a hard time getting from the battalion commander to Dover. Or to Aberdeen.
He received the LRAC, he was having a wounded soldier, he appointed the summary court martial officer, he told him to follow the appropriate regulations, which under the language that he had received.
And not to be a smart aleck, but since we're having trouble figuring out what the LRAC means, we're going to assume the battalion commander knew exactly what it meant.
At the least, he could have wrote a plan language at 638-2 and incorporated the LRAC. And he was using that tool to complete the inspection and report the appellant.
What was the summary court marshal's responsibility after he shipped the material to the JPEG?
His responsibility ended when he appointed a new summary court marshal officer at the JPEG.
And who appointed that?
The JPEG director.
That was appointed to Oklahoma's here. And is that officer the commander of this individual?
No. Yeah. But the appointment is just following the SOP, ensuring that the uniform standard is applied to all the different constabulary.
Is it your position that the search of the computer, the searches of the computer for classified material, or you can use different words in searches, like the rummaging, looking for classified material for porn, was that an inventory or was that an inspection?
That was an inspection.
You know, one thing that struck me during these arguments The summary court officer is the one that does the immediate inventory of personal effects of the wounded soldier, isn't that?
Yeah.
And that's probably the penultimate responsibility of the commander to take care of his wounded guys and be sure nobody steals his stuff.
Yeah.
But isn't the inventory complete then? And it then becomes a search?
The inventory is not complete until it goes through the entire process. The inventory, the reason
for... Yes, but you just said that the rubber thing, since you don't want to use search, was inspection, not inventory.
I agree that when the media center has that laptop, that writable media, it is an inspection. But it is part of the inventory. It is part of the overall thing. When we are looking for a classified
where's the list? Where's the list of all the files on the computer?
I don't believe that inventory requires that every file is listed.
But you're saying it does part of the inventory. You can't have a court police counsel.
I mean, if a police officer did an inventory of a vehicle, and he found a wrapper from McDonald's, and he didn't inventory that because it wasn't important, but he only inventoried the key things that weren't moving forward or the things that they put in a security locker, that would be the case. Just like the media center's SOP specifically says, these things are going to be listed and kept for 6 months and then be reviewed every month by the summary court officer. This was, the inspection was part of the overall inventory. So, my time
is up. Time is up. Would you like to summarize in one sentence or less?
We ask that this court affirm the findings below.
Thank you, counsel. The counsel for the appellate rebuttal, please.
Your Honor, I would like to specifically start with the facts in this case. And this was not an inventory because, as it's been pointed out, there was no inventory issue here, no list of the assets in that file in the computer. As far as the inspection argument, the defense would like to note that the government has never asserted or argued that this was an inspection at any level up until asked for a specified brief by this court.
Well, they did refer to it in the motions at trial, did they not?
They used the term inspection in there in the response to the defense brief, but they tied it in with under 313 Charlie. They did not argue the points under 313B.
But what do you think the government's position that it's both an inventory and an inspection?
The defense does not believe that position can exist. It's either an inventory or it's an inspection. Either the inventory was conducted for one of the purposes, for legitimate purposes, to protect the property, to protect the government from false claims of loss of damage property, or prevent the person.
That's threatening to say in courts with 313C that might be
said. Yes, sir. But
counsel,
they can't be both.
Aren't there some similar civilian analogies where the police stop someone in an automobile, for example, and they arrest them for whatever legitimate reason they have to do that, and then they conduct an inventory of what's in the vehicle, and lo and behold, they find a locked briefcase. Can they open the locked briefcase to be sure there's no weapon inside?
Yes, sir, but that would be going towards the safety of the personnel there.
Can they open it to see if there's any gore inside?
No, Your Honor. It would not be to find gore or pornography, but perhaps maybe for...
Pornography gives me a different set of rational, you know, way to look at it, because who knows what pornography is? And I understand in this case a judge made a decision with probable cause to believe this was child pornography. Is that true?
That
the CID took it to a military magistrate who made a finding of probable cause.
After the initial.
So, well, like I said, completely blew this guy's Fourth Amendment rights.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And going back to Chief Judge Baker's analogy to a mock filing cabinet, this is not a situation where, with a filing cabinet, the documents in a filing cabinet can be removed, and then perhaps it might be a reason to. Well, first of all, the locked filing cabinet, there's no reason to employ it because no one can get into it. And that's the same with the computer here, password computer. It's not reasonable to believe that anyone receiving this computer can access it, whether it's Steph Sergeant Kelly's mother or father or spouse. the regulation provided only that it was supposed to go back to Staff Sergeant Kelly, as actually in this case, Staff Sergeant Kelly was seemed to be alert and coherent and had asked for his property. And the government at that point should have simply boxed it back up, confirmed that all the property that they shipped from theater was present at the JPA, and then shipped it back down to Staff Sergeant Kelly at Fort Bragg, where he was receiving medical treatment. There was no further steps were necessary. Because this was not a lawful inspection or a lawful employee under Military Rule 11-S-313, the government's search of the computer was unreasonable, it was unlawful, and the evidence should be suppressed.
Thank you, counsel. No further questions. The case is now submitted. We thank counsel for both parties and amicus. Thank you very much. And we are now going to stand and